Mandy is on Twitter
at Mandy Wiener.
20 minutes past 12 here on the Midday Report. In Washington, Joe Biden is to be sworn in as the U.S. president today. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris will take the oath of office alongside him. 25,000 troops are expected to guard that inauguration ceremony after that deadly riot at the Capitol earlier this month. Donald Trump won't be attending that inauguration ceremony. He'll be leaving the White House for the last time, heading out to Florida. Let's speak to Kate Hunter, who is the U.S. editor for Bloomberg Politics. Kate, thank you for your time today. What are your expectations ahead of that inauguration today?
Well, I think we're in store for an inaugural ceremony that's really going to be unlike anything that we've witnessed in modern times. I've been to a number of the inaugurations in Washington, and the scenes that we're seeing, from all over the nation's capital are just quite different. Usually it's a very, convivial gathering. People, even if they're supporters or not supporters of the new president, people flood the National Mall. It's a sea of people, usually as far as I can see, there are inaugural balls. There's a huge parade that happens after the swearing in. All of that is off the table this time. We already knew that that was going to probably be largely the case because of the coronavirus. But of course, the events of 2 weeks ago on January 6th, when that mob attack happened at the Capitol, have really heightened security concerns about, a repeat or some other kind of security breach today. And so we're going to see just a small group of people at the Capitol today for the swearing in. That's going to include Vice President Mike Pence, but as you've noted, not the outgoing president, which is also very unusual. Donald Trump won't be in attendance. And then we're going to have a number of virtual events that will occur throughout the day, but very few things that are actually going to be happening in person. And it's all happening with barricades set up all over town, the National Guard deployed, and really security, the likes of which Washington hasn't seen since the Civil War.
How significant is it, do you think, that Donald Trump won't be there today? I think he's the first president not to attend his successor's inauguration since Andrew Johnson snubbed Ulysses Grant in 1869.
That's correct. And it is, really highly unusual for the president not to do that, the outgoing president. In fact, there's going to be a replaying ceremony in Arlington, Virginia afterwards that's going to be attended by obviously not Trump, but all of the other living former presidents, except for Jimmy Carter, who's getting quite up there in the years. I think he's 94 at this point. So, this is usually in the United States a very, significant moment where we see partisan politics put aside in favor of comedy and the idea of the peaceful transfer of power taking precedence. There's often a letter that is written and left in the desk in the Oval Office from the outgoing president to the incoming president. In the case of the most recent inaugural 4 years ago, the Trumps came to the White House and were met there by the Obamas, traveled up to Capitol Hill together, and actually then did a real handoff. None of that is happening this time around. Joe Biden arrived in Washington yesterday afternoon, and Trump and he aren't actually even going to see each other as far as we know during the time that they're both in Washington, even though Biden's staying across the street from the White House at a place called Blair House. So this is all very unusual, not the way the United States usually does its transfer of power. I think it's not a stretch to say that a lot of things are unusual about the Trump presidency, but perhaps it's fitting that it's coming to a very uncharacteristic, untraditional end.
Well, Kate, thank you very much for your time and best of luck as you watch that change of power in Washington today.
Thank you so much. Take care.
That's Kate Hunter, the U.S. editor for Bloomberg Politics, speaking to us there about the inauguration set to happen at around 7 o'clock tonight, South African time. So let's have a different take on this now. We're going to speak to Philip Fonikak. He's the president of Calabar Africa, a consultancy company. He's in Washington. But in a previous life, he spent 20 years as a journalist in South Africa. He was the Africa correspondent for the London Observer. He was also the editor of the Mail and Guardian from 1996 to 2000. So, Philip, thanks for your time and thanks for joining us early in the morning there.
Hi, Mandy. Yes, it is pretty early, yep. But it's going to be quite a day.
It really is going to be quite a day. How does it feel? Like, what sense do you get of a feeling of an atmosphere as a South African watching what's happening there today?
Well, amongst the people I know, there's actually a tremendous feeling of relief. I think one can't underestimate how sort of traumatic, the last 4 years have been for, you know, kind of many, many kind of well-meaning ordinary Americans who have had to kind of live under what has been a really shocking period of, you know, a presidency. And last week when Biden went, you know, delivered his first speech, you know, kind of delivering the nuts and bolts of his initial, you know, what he's going to do in the first 100 days, particularly how he's going to tackle COVID. There's been such an incredible amount of a feeling of, my God, you know, we're back to normal politics again. You know, we're back to governance. This is no longer ruled by tweet storm. You know, we don't have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and worry about what, you know, outrageous thing the president has said or done in the last couple of hours. And so I think I think people sort of underestimate how good a feeling it is to, you know, to get rid of this almost sort of, blight on American politics and move into a sort of a normal era. I mean, it doesn't mean that things are going to be perfect, but it does mean that, you know, a particularly traumatic period is coming to an end.
I have noticed that some South Africans, shall I say, have been watching with a sense of schadenfreude what's been happening there with Donald Trump and the way that that democracy has been undermined in a sense. As a South African watching the developments of the past week, what is your reading of the situation there?
Well, you know, I think that it certainly challenges the idea of American exceptionalism. America, you know, is trapped in its own history. I mean, what happened is, you know, these last couple of weeks and the divisions that we're seeing in American society, you know, are very tribal, and they kind of, you know, revert back to, you know, the basically 200 years of American history, even longer. And, you know, the emergence of white supremacy, in particular, the refusal to, you know, to accept, you know, that this is a diversifying country, you know, that there are, you know, people living in cities, people living in, you know, in rural areas, that is a country of not just of old white men. That is kind of at the heart of what's kind of going on here. It's massive demographic change underway, and it's being resisted. And for many people in the Republican Party and on the far right, you know, they absolutely resist democracy. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand why there's schadenfreude. I mean, at the same time, you know, it's not, you know, there are countries like Uganda and Tanzania and Egypt, et cetera, where on the African continent where, you know, democracy is also, you know, I would say undermined. And in fact, you know, the one thing you can say for the Americans is that the institutions have actually so far withstood this assault on democracy and you know, have shown that you can have an election even against an authoritarian, you know, who doesn't want to give up power. And you can, you know, kind of lance the boil, put it that way, get him out and kind of move on. I mean, America was never a perfect democracy. But I guess, yeah, this is a message that this can happen in any society.
So obviously there's not going to be many people at all at this inauguration today. Are you going to be kind of putting your feet up and watching on TV, or how are you going to be doing this?
Yeah, I think my vantage point will be probably the same as yours and anybody else who wants to watch the inauguration. We've got MSNBC as well as CNN, but absolutely. I mean, there's no point in going downtown. I mean, right now we're in the suburbs of Washington, but if you know, we're about 10 minutes away from the first kind of roadblocks. You know, it's they're not letting people. I know a lot of people that live in Capitol Hill, and they're literally kind of sequestered in their houses. So it's not a day to be moving around Washington, frankly.
Well, enjoy that viewing, Philip, and thank you so much for getting up early and chatting to us here on 702.
Thanks, Mandy.
That's Philip Fanekak. He's the president of Calabar Africa, but you'll probably know him as the former editor of the Mail and Guardian in the late 1990s. He's in Washington, D.C., so he's gearing up to watch that inauguration of Joe Biden. If you want to watch it, it's going to be on at around 7 o'clock tonight, Joe Biden being inaugurated. Donald Trump will not be there, but his vice president, Mike Pence, will be there, and we're going to see Kamala Harris being the first Asian Indian woman at all to become the deputy president, the vice president of the United States.